Your attention, please. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Republican Party's Momentum 67, Victory 68 banquet at the Sheraton Cleveland Hotel. My name is Jim Lowe. And now for the introduction of our distinguished head table. The chairman of Division B, Henry T.S. Heckman. The chairman, Lake County Executive Committee, C. Lee Mantle. The co-chairman of the Summit County Finance Committee, George C. Ruggles. A member of the Finance Executive Committee, H. Chapman Rose. The chairman of Special Gifts, Norman W. Foy. The chairman, Lake County Finance Committee, Henry P. McIntosh III. The rabbi, Daniel Jeremy Silver. The chairman, Dinner Arrangements Committee, Alan James Lowe. The former chairman, Cuyahoga Lake Finance Committee, Richard T. Baker. Former chairman, Cuyahoga Lake Finance Committee, Vernon Stouffer. The president of the Cleveland Chamber of Commerce, Curtis Lee Smith. The treasurer of the Cuyahoga Lake Republican Finance Committee, David W. Ruick. The president of the Greater Cleveland Young Republican Club, Alan P. Buckman. Cleveland Councilman, John W. Kellogg. The chairman, Cuyahoga County Republican Organization, A.L. Sonny DeMoravis. The speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives, Charles F. Kerfus. The Attorney General for the State of Ohio, William B. Saxby. The Vice Chairman, Cuyahoga Lake Republican Finance Committee, Gilbert W. Humphrey. A member at large, State Finance Committee, Thomas F. Patton. the Congressman from the 11th District, J. William Stanton. Chief Judge, Northern District Federal Court of Ohio, Judge James C. Connell. The Cuyahoga County Auditor, Ralph Perk. The Chairman of the Cuyahoga Lake Republican Finance Committee, Willis B. Boyer. And one that I've missed, a Chairman, Summit County Executive Committee, David E. Waddell. Chairman, Cuyahoga Lake Republican Finance, Chairman, Republican National Committee, the Honorable Ray C. Bliss. And our guest speaker for the evening, the Senator from Illinois, the Honorable Charles H. Percy. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps while you're still standing, would you stand and join in while Bob Lawrence and his orchestra lead us in the national anthem? At the conclusion, please remain standing while Rabbi Daniel Silver delivers the invocation. Bob Lawrence.
Share many dreams, but none is more precious than the dream of freedom. We share many duties, but none is more compelling than the obligation of citizenship. We uphold many values, but none is more sacred than the dignity of every individual human being. Ours is a blessed freedom. Can we say that in this blessed land all enjoy its fullness? How many still walk in the twilight of disadvantage, never far from the litter and the ugliness of our racial ghettos and of our ugly slums? Ours is a devoted land whose ideals match the noblest. Yet how often do we even hear set profit over principle and skimp on providing quality in education, in rehabilitation, in medicine, in conservation? Ours is a land that is rightfully proud of its justice, Can we say that we have been careful always of the safety of others, as careful as we have been of our own safety? How can we excuse the voice of racial demagoguery which is still strident in our land? How can we excuse our own patience with habits which do us no credit? We share many dreams and we share many duties. We share many dreams with those of goodwill in other lands dedicated to the great virtues of our tradition. And we know that freedom is secure for us only when it is secure for all. So tonight we speak a special word of thanksgiving for the courage of another people, a small people dedicated to freedom, the small, courageous people of Israel who have this week stood up to the forces of hate and of ugliness and of violence which were ranged against them, who have stood for all that we hold sacred, who have proven that in this world the right and the good may yet triumph. May all of us be ennobled by their example, even as we are ennobled by the examples of those who have given guidance to this party and to this nation. And may we redouble our efforts to make this nation secure in its proper birthright, a birthright of goodness, of justice, of decency, and of concern. In humble gratitude, O Lord, for thy blessings, in humble gratitude, O Lord, for the privilege of our duties, we speak the ancient words of blessing. Praised art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast created the fruit of the earth. Amen. Say, good evening, fellow Republicans. On behalf of the Ohio Republican Finance Committee, I want to thank each of you for your attendance here tonight. Now, it should be pretty obvious to everyone here that the dinner is a complete and overwhelming success. And you are the people who made it possible. Now, I realize that most of you are still having dinner. And please continue. But there's one part of our program tonight that must begin precisely at 8:15. In just a few minutes, each of the eight cities in Ohio having a fundraising dinner this evening will be linked by a telephone network so that speakers in each city can extend greetings to the thousands of Republicans all over the state who are attending dinners similar to this one. I might say with some pride that the Cleveland dinner has by far the greatest attendance. Now, in just a few minutes, you will hear from Senator Howard Baker, Jr. of Tennessee, Senator George Murphy of California, our own Governor James A. Rhodes, Senator Mark Hatfield of Oregon, Senator Roman Hruska of Nebraska, Senator Robert Griffin of Michigan, Senator Clifford Hansen of Wyoming, Senator John Tower of Texas, and of course, Senator Charles H. Percy and National Chairman Ray Bliss. Cut it short. At the conclusion of the telephone network conversation, we'll begin our evening programs. When I call for attention, I hope you'll respond quickly so that part of the program will not be delayed. We have just a few seconds now until this program begins. It would be helpful if they could remove the china as quietly as possible so that all of us can hear these messages.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I please have your attention? We're about to begin the telephone link up with the 8 dinners that are being held throughout the state of Ohio. I am Dick Niehaus, and I would like at this time to present to you the governor of our great state, the Honorable James A. Rhodes. Thank you, Dick. I'm glad to be with you this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your participation in this program and for your loyal support to the Republican Party, not only here in Ohio, but across this great nation of ours. We here in Ohio are indeed fortunate in having one of the most progressive states and one of the best organized. Tonight, you are participating in a very unique program, our Momentum 67 Victory 68 Dinners. Through your support and activities, we build the momentum this year for a real big campaign in 1968, in which you will have the satisfaction in helping to lay the groundwork to elect a Republican president of these United States. 2 years ago, we held a similar program and paid tribute to our then state chairman, Ray Bliss. Ray, during his tenure as chairman of the Republican Party here in Ohio, achieved an outstanding record in being able to take this state and make it a leader of all the states. Tonight, we are again holding a similar type program. And I think it is only fitting that we call again on Ray Bliss for a few words on the national picture and his viewpoints as to the direction of the Republican Party nationally. It now gives me great pleasure to switch our program to Cleveland and our guest, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Ray C. Bliss.
Thank you. Governor Rhodes, fellow Republicans, it's a great pleasure for me to be back in Ohio once again. I want to pay tribute to the governor for the fine job he's done that set an example for all governors throughout the nation, and to John Andrews for his inspired leadership of the state organization in Ohio, which produced a great victory in our home state in 1966. 2 years ago, when I spoke to you here, there were many who wondered whether or not our party could do a comeback. Since then, we've had a tremendous victory throughout the nation in depth. Let us not forget that that victory was conceived in unity, pursued in unity, and achieved in unity. Now, 1968 can be another victorious year for the Republicans. And I cite as fact our current situation with 25 Republican governors throughout this nation, that if we carried those same states in 1968 for the Republican candidate for president, we would win the White House in 68. It's my belief that can be done, but it's a long, hard road ahead. And let us all resolve tonight, as Ohio Republicans, to do that which we have done for so many years, that once someone's nominated on our ticket, let's us as Republicans do the job of electing them. That's the road to victory in 68. And now, it's a pleasure for me to present on this telephone hookup the hardworking, able, and dedicated U.S. Senator from California, the chairman of the Senatorial Campaign Committee, George Murphy.
Thank you very much, Ray. Governor Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, when this plan was first presented to me several months ago in Washington, I too recall the 1965 Salute to Ray Bliss dinners.
that I was involved with that program. And I know the success that can be achieved by teamwork such as you have here in Ohio, and the kind of teamwork you've been able to display. This teamwork is not by chance. It stems as a result of hard work, dedicated people, financial support, as evidenced by the outstanding turnout displayed here this evening. In fact, this is such an outstanding array of teamwork and joint effort by not only the political organizations, but by the fundraising groups, that I would like to see this used in every state as a call for all Republicans to join the team. For we have the need. We know the cause, and now is the time to build momentum in 67 for victory in 68. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to have with me this evening seven of my colleagues from the United States Senate. And I'm sure that each has given or will give you a message, and that they will express to you what is needed in this country today. I would like now to have each of them join me in greeting you from their respective dinner locations. And I now have the honor to switch you to Cleveland, Ohio, to my good friend, Senator Charles Percy of Illinois.
Thank you, Senator George Murphy, Governor Rhodes, and fellow Republicans. It is again a pleasure for me to be in Ohio to participate in this unique and outstanding program. I was in Lima 2 years ago to honor Ray Bliss and incidentally pick some of these same pockets for the Republican Party. And it's a pleasure to be again here to share the stage with Ray Bliss and over 2,000 enthusiastic Republicans in Cleveland. Thank you for your support of our Republican Party. And now to Lima and my good friend and colleague, the Honorable Roman Hruska of Nebraska.
Thank you, Senator Percy. This is not my first trip to Lima, but it is my first opportunity to join with you in a program of this type. It is truly magnificent. And the more than 600 people here tonight in Lima join me in sending greetings to all of you. And now we switch to Dayton and the Honorable Mark Hatfield of Oregon.
Thank you, Senator. With over 1,200 present this evening, the spirit here in Dayton is tremendous. And I'm so happy to be a part of this program and to salute our miracle worker chairman, Ray Bliss. And now to my colleague from the state of Michigan, the Honorable Robert Griffin.
Thank you, Senator Mark Hatfield. Here in Mansfield, the Fun Center of Ohio, where Johnny Appleseed and Jack Betts and John Ashbrook are famous names, they really know how to elect Republicans. And we're 350 strong here to prove it. With that kind of enthusiasm and with the leadership we have in Ohio and Michigan and many other states, the people are going to say it loud and clear in 1968, there's a better way than LBJ. Now let's go to Youngstown and to Senator John Tower of Texas, where, and I'm sure it isn't quite as hot there, John, as it was in Dallas the other night.
Thank you, my good friend, Bob Griffin. I've just been in your state, and the Republicans are doing a good job there, too. It's really great to be a part of this team here this evening. And we've got over 700 wildly enthusiastic, good Republicans here in Youngstown tonight. They send greetings to all of you and express the certain knowledge that 1968 is going to be a Republican year. Now, I'd like to take you to Steubenville, where you'll hear from a distinguished former governor of the great state of Wyoming, presently my colleague in the Senate from that state, Cliff Hansen. Come in, Cliff.
Thank you, Senator Cowher. I believe we have here in Steubenville tonight one of the largest turnouts of this type for many years. And the spirit shown by the 500 strong is wonderful. I am sure this prize is the kind we need in the Republican Party to carry us to victory in 1968. And now I switch you to Canton and to the Honorable Howard Baker from Tennessee.
Thank you, Cliff Hansen. This is a great honor for me and a great privilege to participate with all of you across the state of Ohio in this festive and worthwhile occasion tonight. And to Governor Rhodes and to Ray Bliss, may I offer my congratulations for a job extremely well done. Not only are we, according to the enthusiasm we have here in Canton tonight and across the state, going to elect a Republican to the presidency in 1968, but we're going to convert the next man I intend to introduce from the minority leader of the Senate to the majority leader of the Senate. It's now my great privilege to introduce my wife's father. I sometimes refer to him as my senator-in-law, Everett Dirksen of Illinois.
Thank you very much, Senator Dirksen. Anything you say.
anything you say. We deeply appreciate your participation and that of your splendid colleagues who have been able to arrange their schedules to join us here in Ohio tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, this series of dinners has turned out to be one of the most successful fundraising efforts in the history of the Ohio Republican Party. We are greatly indebted to all of you for being here and to all of those who have worked so hard to make this event so successful. These dinners demonstrate the continuing enthusiasm and strength of the Republican Party in Ohio. Our party has an exceptional record in this state. Year after year, with few exceptions, a majority of Republicans have been elected to serve in the State House, the legislature, and the Congress. Our county organizations, whose task is to conduct campaigns at the local level, have enjoyed equal success. When we have had a down year, we have not stayed down. Ohio Republicans bounced back from defeat in 1958 to give the greatest majority of any industrial state to Richard Nixon in the 1960 presidential race. In 1966, we provided a record plurality for Governor James Rhodes, just 2 years after we had suffered the shattering loss in 1964. One of the chief reasons why the party in Ohio has been able to maintain its strength and rebound from these temporary setbacks is because of adequate financing. Through the United Fund program of the Ohio Republican Finance Committee, funds are provided for our county, state, and national party organizations. This plan enables us to maintain year-round operations, which in turn permit a continuity of effort and programming that otherwise would not be possible. It is the fairest and most effective method, and past results bear this out. Ohio's fine record of electing Republican office holders was never better than in 1966, when under the inspiring leadership of Governor Rhodes, we won every state office and 70% of all other contests in the state of Ohio, both local and statewide. The 1966 Ohio Republican victory was, in fact, the most sweeping of any state in the nation. But I want to assure everyone that we are not resting on our laurels. Your Republican organizations at every level are working now to increase our momentum so that we may have victory in local elections this fall and total victory in 1968. We are also working vigorously in an effort to broaden the base of the party in Ohio. We invite everyone to join the Republican Party, a party with vigor and determination dedicated to solving the massive problems of our age. We have active programs at the state level to attract more young people into the party, to get them committed to our cause at an early age. Our Young Republican, College Republican, and Teenage Republican programs are showing marked increases in the number of clubs and in membership. Our auxiliaries have a dues-paying membership of more than 60,000 men and women. Of special importance to the image of the Ohio Republican Party is the fact that the Rhodes administration and the splendid Republican legislative leaders are well on the way towards implementing the Republican State Platform of 1966 with some of the most meaningful legislation ever written in the state of Ohio. In the Congress of the United States, the 19-member Ohio Republican delegation, the nation's largest, is again exercising fine leadership on the minority side of the aisle. And if Republicans can win control of the Congress in 1968, Ohio will have 5 members of Congress heading important congressional committees. Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Party in Ohio and throughout the nation is the forward-looking party. We are concerned about the future, not wedded to the past. We welcome the responsibility of providing leadership to meet the complex problems facing the country and the state today. In closing, I extend my personal thanks and appreciation to all of you for your generous support. I assure you that your state Republican organization will continue to do its best. And now it is my pleasure to introduce you to my good friend, an outstanding leader in the party, the man whose organization is responsible for this outstanding statewide program tonight, the chairman of the Ohio Republican Finance Committee, Mr. Richard Neoff, coming from Columbus.
Thank you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, you have had an opportunity to be a part of one of the most unique programs ever presented in behalf of our party. And we feel most fortunate tonight in having all these senators, as well as Ray Bliss, journey to Ohio to...
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that through the confusion of the transmission, you did evidence some of the enthusiasm that throughout the state. I realize it was very difficult to catch the words, particularly from Senator Dirksen in Washington. But nonetheless, I'm sure that this enthusiasm that is evident by the fine participation in all eight dinners throughout the state most assuredly will provide the momentum in 67 that will carry the Republican Party to complete victory in 1968. I happened to open my fortune cookie, I hope you have, and look what it says. Senator Charles Percy predicts 68 GOP victory. Isn't that great? Now, we wish it were possible to have had everyone at a front table. Obviously, this couldn't be. This is probably the largest group ever assembled for dinner in this ballroom. Although we're crowded, I hope that you'll agree with us that it's better for us all to be together rather than split into separate rooms as we've done several times in the past. We're pleased to have large groups from counties other than Cuyahoga Lake participating in this affair. And these counties are Summit, Medina, Geauga, Lorain, Huron, and Erie. Won't the ladies and gentlemen from these areas just take a bow, not standing necessarily, we'll add perhaps to the noise, but we certainly do welcome all of you. Now, I couldn't possibly thank everyone personally who has worked for many weeks on the hundreds of details that go into an affair of this magnitude, so I won't even try. However, you'll find some of their names listed in your program. We do express our appreciation to all of them, and also to the members of the Young Republicans who so ably served as hosts and hostesses during the evening. Now, I want to particularly thank Bob Walbrook, the Executive Director of the Cuyahoga Lake Finance Committee, who has done just a perfectly remarkable, outstanding job of handling the many details that have made this dinner so successful. Bob, wherever you are, won't you take a bow? That guy is terrific. Partly as a result of your fundraising efforts of last year, Cuyahoga County now has seven good Republicans in Columbus, and I'm going to ask them to stand, and I ask that you withhold your applause until all are introduced. First, State Senator John H. Weeks. Now hold your applause. Kurt Smith would do this better than I do, but we'll have applause after you've all been standing a moment. State Senator William W. Taft. State Representative Mark Schinnerer. State Representative George Mastix. State Representative George Voinovich. State Representative Alan J. Bartunek. State Representative Richard R. Hullington, Jr. And from the Republican organization here in Cuyahoga County, the chairman, who's sitting here, A.L. Sonny DeMoribus, and his two associates, Bob Hughes and Saul Stillman. Now, won't you all applaud? Now,
I think that you'll all agree that we in Cleveland are most fortunate. Not only do we have the fine gentleman from Illinois as our guest speaker tonight, but we are honored to have with us our longtime friend, National Chairman Ray Bliss. As you know, Ray was Republican State Chairman for many years and has been National Chairman for the past 2 years. Ray is so well known to all of you that any further introductory remarks about him would be superfluous. So I'll simply say this. Ray, we're delighted you're here. Won't you take just a few minutes to say hello to your friends from Northeastern Ohio? Ray Bliss.
Thank you very, very much. Bill Boyer, Chairman of the Dinner Committee, and Mr. Humphrey, the Vice Chairman, distinguished guests at the head table, and to those of you that provide the sinews of war that's sitting out there, I'm happy to be here tonight with you and first want to express my appreciation as National Chairman to each and every one of you for the part you are playing and have played in the effort to rebuild our party. Now, I remember being here 2 years ago, and it was with mixed emotions. I felt like the man being fed into the lion's den without any self-protection. As you well know, we were confronted with the worst split in our party since the Bull Moose split of 1912. And I can well remember going to practically every dinner throughout the country that I attended and the minister giving the invocation, and I congratulate Rabbi Silver. He read the last election returns. Every minister was praying for divine guidance for the national chairman, and believe me, I needed it. But since then, we have come a long ways, and some of the things that have made that possible are the fact that we had a Republican coordinating committee, and I want to cite a few of these things, because you put your hard-earned dough in the line and seldom know where it goes in the political game that we are in. But through the vehicle of the Republican Coordinating Committee, which was established shortly after I became chairman and on which sits the leadership of the House and Senate, our leadership, all our former candidates for president, and 8 governors, and some representatives of the National Committee, and over which I preside. Through that vehicle, we were able to unite the party and develop what I call solid position papers on the major issues confronting this nation. And for the first time in 1966, and this was a major change in the history of any out party or minority party, never is a pattern such as this succeeded in prior years under either party. For the first time in 1966, we confronted the electorate of this nation with a reasonably united voice and a reasonably united position on over 22 major problems confronting this nation. Our guest speaker here tonight served on one of the task forces that fed papers into that committee and did a yeoman's job in developing new positions that for the first time established our party in many years as a party having a positive position instead of being damned as a party in negation throughout the nation. Another great development of that committee, and you're all well aware, that factional splits within a party all develop around name leaders at the top. The Republican Coordinating Committee meets on a quarterly basis. It's staffed by the National Committee and financed by the National Committee. It's expensive to operate. But nevertheless, you're well aware of the fact from your personal experience that if you're going to have some dinner with somebody tonight, you're not going to say anything very bad about them publicly today. And that's the same theory behind the coordinating committee. The principals in our party know that periodically the national chairman's going to have men looking at each other across a U-shaped table, and they think twice about calling each other names and that's important to our party. Now, in addition to that, I became dubbed as the nuts and bolts chairman. In fact, Dave Broder wrote a column after the election saying that the reporters were weeping because of my talking about that, but finally concluded after the win that maybe you needed some nuts and bolts in politics. Well, I'm proud of that tag. That was my tag in Ohio. And never did we have more victories than we had in those 16 years that we practiced nuts and bolts. And my criticism of the National Committee was for years that we dealt in the intangibles instead of the tangibles, and we tried to do the tangible things that produce victory. And what are they? Getting things like the coordinating committee moving, getting your big city chairman in where we rotted out for years and lost our 1960 election and laying it on the line about what we had to do, getting in our few research people throughout the nation and coordinating our effort in that field, and putting it on a sensible business-like plane, getting in our public relations director so they at least know what a newspaper man is and how to talk to him, and a few sensible things that are fundamental in any business or any party organization. Yes, that's where we've been spending your money, and we're doing it now, and holding meetings in the weak states, holding meetings in congressional districts in the South where we've never fielded a candidate in our lives as a party, but in 66 started producing some winners. That's the road to reestablishing a national political party. And what were the results? For the first time in many years, and many of you don't realize this, that while we were winning at the top during the 50s, we'd all kidding ourselves. We were losing our shirts at the bottom during that period of time. And never forget, the heartbeat of any solid party organization, any long-range party rebuilding, is developed around wins at the bottom. I believe in victories from the bottom, just as you build a house from the basement up, not from the roof down. Politics is no different. You build a company from the parent plant out. You don't open up the subdivisions both first. And we need more long-range planning in this party instead of short-range planning, with a few that were developing a solid major party in the nation. Now, what were the results this last time? We won, gained more than 800 county offices throughout this nation, and won them in areas where the chairman had said, Ray, there's no use fielding candidates. But we did field them. And we picked up over 500 legislative seats throughout the nation. Moved our control of state legislature from 6 to 17. And remember, they do the redistricting, as you well know from your high experience. We picked up 3% for the first time in 18 years, reversed the trend in the suburbs, and gained 3%. We picked up 4% in the farm areas of the nation. And yes, we made major gains in every city in the nation, carrying Boston for the first time in modern American history. And when you carry Boston, you've accomplished the impossible in this business. And I said here to you 2 years ago, our objective had to be to raise our party base. And what is that? Raise the number of people who are proud to admit they're Republicans in this, and not hiding behind the curtains on the stage. We've moved it up 4% since the last election, and that's the largest move up in Republican Party base since 1940. I have said as national chairman that our party was dead unless we could enroll more youth in the land. And our strength there has eroded ever since 1956, when our strength revolved around a president who was a famous name that could have won whether we had a party or not. He won as an individual. And you know it, and I know it. And what has happened? The National Committee has financed a drive on the college campuses to attract the leaders on that campus, just as you and industry try to milk off and get the top cream of that campus into your ranks to build future leaders. That's the goal of the Republican Party under my chairmanship. And what has happened in recent months? The trend, we are now even with the Democrats. For the first time in the memory of man, in appeal to the young Republican group on the college campuses, now 29% say they're Democrats, 29% say they're Republicans. 6 months ago, that's a receding, the Democrats have lost in the period of the last year 6 percentage points, and we picked up 3 among that important and vital group if we're to succeed as a party. That's where we're headed. And I believe with a continuation of this type of program, financed by your hard-earned money, which I recognize everybody gets you together and tries to get to part with it, but I can tell you this, that as long as I'm your national chairman, your dollars are going to be spent as wisely as they can be spent. We're going to operate in the black, because I believe if we're going to preach fiscal responsibility, we should practice it at the national committee. More importantly, if we're to win next in 68 and have another death victory, you can help set the tone. Now, it's your money that's going to be spent in these presidential primaries. Very seldom do I see candidates investing much of their own dough. It's usually yours. I've been through this for 30 years. So when you're laying that dough on the line for them, do me this one favor. If you want a victory in 68, just tell them, we're not financing you to campaign against other Republicans and call them names. We're financing you to offer constructive programs for the solution of the major problems confronting this nation, and we expect you to do that which has been done under the national chairman's leadership for 2 years. Keep our fire on the Democrats and not on each other. That's the road to victory. Now, in closing, I want to say one thing to all of you. I mean from the bottom of my heart. I'm in my home area. I'm proud to be from Ohio in this area. And I'm proud with that which you've done and appreciate that which you've done throughout the years to support my leadership in the various capacities I have held within the Republican Party framework. However, last time, if there was ever a time I wasn't seeking a job, it was this one, because I'm well aware of all the troubles and trials and tribulations. But we have made headway. We can make more. But I just want to say this to you. I hope you're in this for the same reason I am. If ever a man was grafted, as my wife can testify, I was last time. And some say, why did you take the job on? I take it on for the same reason that I appeal to you tonight, to set your hearts on a goal bigger than that, as I see it, kind of a temporary win by any party. Let us not forget that this party, this nation, under the two-party system, has become the greatest nation on the face of the globe. This, under the two-party system, it is a system that's allowed you and I to accumulate that which we have in life. And likewise, the two-party system has enabled you and I, no matter how humble our beginnings, to hope and be able to achieve the highest position in either our business or our profession, if we had the drive and we had the initiative to get that goal. It's been up to us. And there isn't another nation like it on the face of this globe. And I believe it more important to retain that system than to further the ambitions of any party chairman, any candidate, or any individual. And I hope you feel as I do, that we're going to fight to keep this nation that which it is, by strengthening for long-range purposes, so that here and forever in this nation, the strongest two-party nation in the face of this globe. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the strongest, most persuasive, straightforward hello message that I've heard in many a day. It was just great, Ray. And I know that all of us are proud of you for being our national chairman. Now, you were accompanied here to Cleveland by your lovely wife, Ellen. Mrs. Bliss, won't you stand and take a bow, please? We in Cuyahoga Lake have a dedicated and hard-working finance committee, and I'd like to thank each of them. The names of these men are all listed in your program. I won't repeat them. But in particular, I wish to express my personal appreciation to the man who is working so hard as vice chairman of the committee this year. He certainly has made my job much easier than I had any right to expect. He will introduce our guest speaker this evening, ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert W. Humphrey, better known as Bud, Bud Humphrey.
Mr. Chairman, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen, I join Bill in expressing our appreciation to all of you for tonight's powerful display of Republican support. And we're all honored that our guest speaker could take the time to be with us on this occasion. And if I can depart from the script for a moment, we were riding down in the elevator tonight, and Chuck said he thanked me very generously, as he always does, for introducing him tonight. And Ray, quick as a wink, turned to him and said, "Chuck, I thought you were a better politician than to thank a friend before you heard what he was going to say." But I do want the record clear that anything that I say about Chuck, and I intend to be more formal later on in introducing him as a Republican, I mean about him as a friend. I've known him for a long time, and out of that has come a great and high regard. And over a relatively short span of years, our speaker has made an outstanding success of four separate careers. I don't mean to emphasize the shortness of the years, because it isn't the years that count. Today's world is compressed. It's the intensity with which you live the experiences that confront you that gives you your character. On the educational side, he's a graduate of the University of Chicago and of Chicago's Kent College of Law. And graduating from college is no mean accomplishment in today's world. On the military side, he served in the United States Navy from February 43 to December 1945. He entered as an apprentice seaman and left with the rank of lieutenant senior grade. On the business front, beginning at the age of five as a magazine salesman, he became a director of Bell & Howell at the age of 23 and president of that company at the age of 29. He resigned as chief executive officer in 1963 to announce his candidacy for governor of Illinois. During the period of his leadership, the company grew and prospered in an outstanding fashion. And lastly, in the political arena, he started in 1946 as a Republican precinct captain and organized a GOP veterans group. He was elected president of the United Republican Fund in 1955 and later served as a vice chairman of the Republican National Finance Committee. He was appointed chairman of the 1960 Republican Platform Committee which produced a platform that has been described as the most meaningful and realistic ever adopted by the GOP convention. He was elected to the United States Senator, to the Senate in November 1966, and is a member of the Aeronautical and Space Sciences and Banking and Currency Committees. In these troubled times, we Republicans, and indeed all Americans, are fortunate to have such a man of high integrity and proven abilities serving us in the United States, in the Senate of the United States. It's with pride and great pleasure that I present to you our guest speaker of the evening, the junior senator of Illinois, the Honorable Charles H. Percy.
Boyer and Bud Humphrey, my fellow Republicans. Some of you were delegates to the 1960 convention, and I recall very vividly when I had the honor of opening the convention one night with a presentation of our platform. I said then, it's exciting to be an American, it's exciting to be a Republican. And I say that again tonight with even more conviction. I'll have to admit I had a few grave doubts.